Well, good afternoon, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our first Carols in the Castle. We are so delighted to be here. We very cheekily asked the castle folks if we could come in the building this year, and they very graciously agreed. So thank you so much to them for staying behind and working a little bit extra. We owe them a lot, so we're very grateful to the castle staff and owners for allowing us to be here. Let's give them a clap again. Okay. So my name is James. I'm the minister for Glenelg and Inverina Free Church, and it's so wonderful to see you all here today. I have some of my colleagues from the other churches in the area who are going to join me in doing readings and things, so we're very thankful to them for coming, and just for all of you for making this sell out so quickly. We knew it would be popular, we didn't know it would be this popular, so thank you all so much for coming. I have my glamorous choir here who are going to help us with the singing and lead us as we sing some carols together, and then we'll have some readings, a prayer and a short message as well. So thank you all for coming, and we thank God for the opportunity to be here. We're going to sing. That's why we're here. We're going to sing together the carol, Come All Ye Faithful. So it's number 13 in your carol sheets. There's a couple of things in how we're going to sing it, just for the parts. I might need reminding because my memory is terrible. When it comes to the chorus, they'll be sang in parts. Who goes first?
Women first.
Yeah, the women and the men, and then everybody for the chorus part. But we're not singing the last verse as well, just to cut down on things a bit. One last thing I have forgotten to mention, because my memory is terrible, is there is a gift bag for you all. This is, we thank you for coming. So before you leave, make sure you get one. If you need a gluten-free one, speak to Barbara, who's going to put her hand up. She'll make sure you get what you need. So that is a gift for you. So let's sing then together. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Really well. So So we're very thankful for our lovely singers and for you all as well. I'm going to ask my friend and colleague Roddy, who's going to come and lead us now in an opening prayer. So
let's pray. Living God, we give thanks that we are here together this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this place. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us. And we worship you, Lord, that you are willing to meet with us and to show yourself to us, indeed, if we are willing to meet with you. So help us, Lord, to have willing hearts now as we sing these carols and listen to the readings. And bless each one of us, whatever our backstory is, whatever our lives are at this time. Speak to us as individuals and let us hear afresh that you saw our need and sent your Son into this world to be our Saviour. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us even just to remember this place named after a man who gave his life in sharing the good news of Jesus 1400 years ago. And Father, we thank you for the great long tradition that brings us to this day and this hour. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, and we pray that you will bless us. And we thank you, Lord, for that we've got a roof over our heads tonight and that we didn't plan to have this outside. So Lord, please be with us and speak to us and be with those who wanted to be here but weren't able. For Jesus' sake.
Amen. Thank you, Roddy. Now, again, my friend and colleague Fred is going to come and give us our first reading, which is from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 to 10. So thank you, Fred.
Thank you. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 to 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen. Your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Amen.
Thank you, Fred. We'll sing our second carol now, which is number 18 in your carol sheet, See Amid the Winter's Snow. I think there's some parts for this one as well. So Colin, can you... Is there... So everybody sings the first verse, then the women sing the second, the men the third, women the fourth, men the fifth, and everyone the last, I think. We'll just go with it, it'll be fine. See amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below, see the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years.
See amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below, promise from eternal years, ever blessed.
Right.
got your breath back after getting up here before singing that last one, but good for you. We'll have our second reading next. Jane is going to come and read from Luke's Gospel to us, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you for that reading, Jane. And now, after we've read about the shepherds, we're going to sing about the shepherds. We're going to sing number 27 in your cowl sheets, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night." And what are we doing for this one?
It's kind of like you know the witch, so everyone sings the first verse, then ladies, then men, then right. Ladies, then men, then everyone.
Okay, that's great. So same as before, we'll take it as we go.
Mighty breath has
So you've got this. You've done this before. That's great. So we've got our third then final reading next. Father Ronald is going to come and read to us again from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, just a little bit further along, verses 22 to 35.
When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Thank you, Father Ronald, for that reading. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing two carols. We're going to sing number 26 first, so you should already be on the right page. "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" And then we've read that. We'll have a short message based on the passages we've heard today. Let's sing then together. Number 9. message that we had today is simply titled Heralds of Good News. So those three readings that we heard were heralds of good news. We start then with the herald of peace, which we heard from Isaiah 52. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. And one of the things I love about living here is that we are surrounded by mountains and hills and beautiful scenery, which I think is pretty much unparalleled. Even some of the other beautiful parts of Scotland fail to match it, even on rainy days like today. Just think about what we have near us. We've got forests and rivers and burns and lochs and beaches and castles. What else do we need? We are truly blessed. It is a great privilege to be able to live here. But the Christmas story reminds us that there is something more beautiful than the world around us. More beautiful than this wonderful building we're standing in. More beautiful even than all of you. And that is really hard to beat. We have in Isaiah 52 a herald of good news, a herald of peace. The image in this prophecy is that of a messenger who has been sent by an army to give tidings of battle back to the people at home. And back home, things are uneasy. The city is suffering. It has been desolated by war and strife, and is desperately awaiting news of either victory or defeat. You can imagine what people would have been feeling. Fear, anxiety, even hope. Many emotions raging within them. Constantly looking out over the horizon, waiting for news. And then someone sees in the distance a figure running alone over the mountain tops, coming their way, finally bearing news. And in this case, thankfully, it's good news. The victory is won. The battle is over. Peace has come to the land. God has saved us. This passage says that this runner's feet are beautiful. Not in the physical sense, but rather because it is his feet that have carried him here to us to bring us this good news. He is the herald of peace. And he comes bearing this great, amazing, long-awaited, long-hoped-for good news. On top of it all, we heard in this passage that the Lord is coming. Not only are we hearing good news, but the King himself, the Lord, is coming to the city. God is coming. God will comfort his people. He will redeem them. He will bring them salvation from their enemies and their sin. And this good news will be spread by God to all the corners of the earth. All will see his glory, we are told. All will see the glory of the Lord in this coming King. All will see and desire the salvation of the Lord. When we meet and we sing and we gather at Christmas, this is really what it's all about. This is why we celebrate. This is why we feast. This is why we sing carols together. Because the Lord is reigning. Because the King is coming. And he comes in victory and brings with him peace, hope, and joy to a suffering world. He especially brings hope to the poor and the lowly, which is why we heard in our second reading, the story of the shepherds and the heralds of salvation. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. To be a shepherd in the first century was to be poor. It was to be hated, despised upon, looked down upon. They would be dirty, unkempt, and because of the nature of their work, they were considered to be ceremonially unclean. They could not partake in their religion. They could not worship God because of their job. Ironically, though, it is likely that the very animals that these shepherds were caring for would go on to be used in the temple sacrifices. So although they were allowing these sacrifices to take place, they couldn't partake in them themselves. They were lowly and they were humble. And yet, when the heralds of good news came to tell them the birth of Jesus, who is it that they came to see? Who do the heavenly hosts come to proclaim the birth of the Messiah? Who do the choir of angels tell the good news to? Not the king in Jerusalem, not the scribes or the Pharisees or the priests in the temple, not the rich in their mansions, not the Roman governor in his palace. They go to the lowly, dirty, smelly shepherds. These are the ones who hear the good news. Israel had sadly forgotten that many of their heroes had once been shepherds. Men like Moses, the prophet Amos, King David himself had once cared for sheep, as these men do. Their fellows were rejected by the people, but they were not rejected by God. God remembers. He chose them to be the first to hear the birth of Christ. To God, they had dignity. Jesus himself is described as the good shepherd. And what does a good shepherd do? He lays down his life for his sheep. This is why Jesus' birth is good news. This is why we celebrate it. Because the good shepherd was born to die on a wooden cross to bear away our sin. He was born to step into our place, to face the wrath and judgment we deserve, to spare us, make us his children. To the lowly shepherds, the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God, was announced. The heavenly heralds of salvation, proclaiming good news to the poor, that the riches of heaven are theirs in Christ Jesus. And they can be yours as well. Finally, we have a herald of light, which is the last one I want to talk to you about. And he was an old man called Simeon. Simeon had waited, and he had waited, and he had waited to hear and to see his people consoled, as he put it. He wanted to see his people, Israel, comforted in their long suffering. He had waited for the Messiah to come. This was what he was to do. Isaiah chapter 40 speaks of the comfort God was going to bring his people, and it was the Messiah who would do this. Simeon was told by God he would live to see the Messiah. He wasn't told when he was going to come, wasn't told where. And yet one day the Spirit of the Lord, we're told, came upon him, moving him to go to the temple. And there, finally, after all that waiting, after all those years, there was the Messiah. But he wasn't some great leader. He wasn't some great king dressed in finery. He was just a little baby, but a few days old. For this little baby was the glory of God made flesh. And Simeon, bless him, got more than just to see the Messiah. He got to hold him. You imagine how he must have felt. He got to hold the King of heaven and earth in his arms. Holding a normal baby is a special experience. It's a wonderful gift. And yet here was the King of glory a little baby in the arms of an old man. And this old man, Simeon, could not contain his joy. He could not hold back his praise of God. And he uttered these wonderful words: "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." So after seeing and holding the salvation of God in his hands, Simeon knows his life can now end. He has seen the Messiah. He knows God is going to fulfill his promise. He is going to deliver his people. He knows sin and death will be defeated. He knows that the light of glory will now spread from Israel and go out to the Gentiles, out to the world. The hope of Simeon is shared with the whole world, which it now has done, more or less. God promised the servant of the Lord that he would not only restore Israel, but he would be a light for the nations, that his salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And it is Jesus who fulfilled this prophecy. Simeon then is the herald of light, because light does not stop at geographical boundaries. It keeps going. It keeps going. The light of the sun fills the whole earth throughout the day. And the light of Christ fills the whole world all the time. It is unceasing. So let us then hear from these three heralds, hear their message, and respond in kind. Follow Christ this Christmas and be more fulfilled than you have ever been before. Amen. Amen. We'll sing our last carol then. And we'll let these lovely people go home and have their dinners. We're going to sing "Joy to the World," number 12. Christmas time, and may the grace and peace of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be with you and for now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.